Hello and welcome to Bedford and District Audio News for the week ending Sunday, the 5th of October. This is William Naylor speaking, and reading with me this week is Judy Mansfield. Sunrise this week is at 14 minutes past 7 and sunset at 22 minutes past 6. And now it's time for the news.
Oasis Beach Pool has been put up for sale, a year after Bedford Borough Council spent £500,000 refurbishing the facility before deciding to close it, after a report found there were no viable options to maintain the existing facility as it is, or with modifications to the existing building. The news will reignite debate around how the pool has been managed and whether Bedfordians have been let down. For more than 30 years, the pyramid-shaped oasis has been part of Bedford's leisure landscape, but its future now lies in the hands of whoever steps forward to take on the 6.29-acre site. The pool first opened in 1991 as a family-friendly destination, and it remains one of Bedford's most recognisable landmarks. In May 2024, the council announced a £500,000 investment in new boilers, lighting, ventilation and repairs. The pool reopened during half term with a launch event billed as a sign of commitment to the pool's future. By November, executive councillors voted to close the building, citing high running costs. The decision led to political clashes and anger from locals who questioned why such a large sum had been spent only months earlier. Announcing the site's sale, Councillor Sarah Gallagher said, "We're looking for a partner who can bring fresh vision and energy to this important site while respecting its leisure heritage." The sale includes parking for approximately 200 cars and it's conveniently located near Aspects Leisure Park, Tesco Extra and the River Great Ouse. The listing also suggests there's potential to develop outdoor leisure uses on the adjoining riverside land. A lock on the River Great Ouse is to close for 6 months and undergo a structural upgrade involving crucial below waterline repairs. The Environment Agency said the major project at Bedford Lock by the town's embankment will involve a full drain down. Bedford Borough Council, which owns the land containing the lock, says work will start at the end of the month, finishing in April 2026, and will impact nearby car park capacity. The lock, the first in the town, means the Great Ouse can be navigated along its route through Cambridgeshire to the Wash at King's Lynn in Norfolk. Stephen Wilby, the project manager for navigation and waterways at the Environment Agency, said, "These works involve a full drain down of the lock to carry out necessary below waterline repairs. This will create a new downstream landing stage to enable boat owners to operate the lock without blocking the lock entrance. We'll also carry out upgrades to the structure to help boat users navigate through," he said. The council says the work is essential to ensure the lock remains safe and fully operational. It said a temporary site compound would be set up in Everard Meadow and a temporary bailey bridge would be installed across the lower river so construction vehicles could access the lock. "It means half of the public car park off the Longholm Way Rope Walk roundabout will be closed for the duration of the project." Bedford Borough Council has approved the acceptance of a grant of £86,130 from Bedfordshire Police and the Home Office to fund a new Town Centre Warden initiative. This decision means the council will deliver additional uniformed patrols in Bedford Town Centre for the remainder of the 2025-26 financial year. According to the council's report, the wardens will provide consistent, visible reassurance for people living, working, visiting or studying in the town centre. Their duties will include daily on-foot patrols in areas where antisocial behaviour is regularly reported. There'll be pop-up engagement events offering advice and signposting. The use of antisocial behaviour powers, authorised by the council, to work alongside Bedfordshire Police and other partners. Identifying and recording environmental issues requiring attention from other council services. And referring concerns about vulnerable people to the appropriate support services. This initiative will provide an additional team of 3 to 4 wardens, deployed in pairs on a Monday to Sunday shift pattern. It complements the forthcoming PSPO, which will address behaviours such as public drinking, begging, dangerous cycling, urination, defecation and littering. The council said this extra resource is expected to improve perceptions of safety in the town centre. A Bedford Borough Council meeting heard that the planned Universal Studios theme park could worsen housing pressures in Bedford, with fears that more homes will be turned into holiday lets and Airbnb-style rentals. During last week's Housing Committee meeting, concerns were raised that properties in developments such as Wixom's are already being bought up by investors. Neil Polden, the team leader, Housing Regulatory Compliance, compared the risk to areas around Disneyland in Florida. "Does anybody live in a house near Disneyland?" he said. "Probably not, as they're just holiday homes." The committee heard that Universal has indicated it does not plan to provide temporary housing for construction workers, which could add further pressure on the local rental market during the build phase. The discussion came as the council reported 849 homes standing empty for more than 12 months across the borough. The council has introduced council tax premiums of up to 400% on properties that have been empty for more than a decade to encourage owners to bring them back into use. It also has powers to pursue compulsory purchase orders, although most owners take action before that step is reached. Councillors are expected to revisit the issue of Universal's impact on housing later this year. The borough will also take part in Empty Homes Week in spring 2026 to highlight empty properties as a wasted resource. Planning news next. And Bloor Homes have submitted scoping plans for a 1,000 home development at Bedford River Valley Park near Willington. It's a mixed-use scheme on a site around 3 miles east of Bedford between the A421 and the A603 Bedford Road. The request is the first formal step in the environmental impact assessment process, which happens before a full planning application is submitted. It does not in itself grant planning permission. The proposals cover around 112 hectares of land and include up to 1,000 new homes, a two-form entry primary school with early years provision, 2 water sports lakes, and up to 1,000 square metres of retail space, a mobility hub, cycle and pedestrian routes, play areas, landscaping and open space also form part of the plans. Access would be taken from the A603 with 3 new roundabouts proposed. Subject to planning approval at a later stage in the process, the first homes could be completed in 2027 with phased development continuing until 2037. And other new planning applications submitted to Bedford Borough Council this month include replacing part of the existing flat roof covering at the Bedford Sixth Form on Bromham Road in Bedford, replacing French doors at a property located at 42 High Street in Risley, a 2-storey rear extension and internal alterations at Green Acres based at 54 Cleet Hill in Bedford, and proposals affecting listed buildings at 27 Green End in Reynold and at Uplands in Box End Road, Kempston.
And now from the family announcements in Bedford today, we bring you the sad news that the following local people have passed away. Foley, Eleanor Isabel Foley, née Lambert, on the 4th of September, aged 83. Smith, Audrey Smith, on the 23rd of September, aged 93. And now we return to the news. Five young people from Bedfordshire have been honoured with appointments as Lord Lieutenant's Cadets for 2025-26, a prestigious role that recognises leadership, service and commitment. His Majesty's Lord Lieutenant of Bedfordshire, Susan Lusada, commissioned the new cadets at a ceremony at Bedford School on Wednesday, the 1st of October. This year's cadets are Police Cadet Eva Lyon, Sea Cadet Sergeant Raphael Pirlo, Bedford School CCF RAF Sergeant Sterling Smallwood, RAFAC Cadet Warrant Officer Brandon Venn, and Fire Cadet Crew Commander George Whitehurst. The five will support the Lord Lieutenant at official events over the coming year, including civic services, remembrance events, and when required, royal visits. Cadets are chosen each year in recognition of their contribution to their organisations and their potential as future leaders.
A brass band from Bedford has marked its 25th anniversary this year with success up north in some of Britain's biggest brass band contests. Back in June, Bedford Town Concert Brass, a community band that's part of the Bedford Town Band organisation, took part in the annual Whit Friday Brass Band Contest in Saddleworth in Yorkshire. The contest is a cherished tradition in the villages in the northwest and has been celebrated since the 19th century. Bedford Town Concert Brass competed in 8 of the 11 Saddleworth villages participating in this tradition, and they made a notable impact in Delft, which was famously featured in the 1996 film Brassed Off, where they ranked 18th out of a total of 75 bands showcasing their talents there. The band was awarded the title of Best Fourth Section Band in Delft, an impressive achievement that underscores their dedication and skill, and they finished 44th overall out of 121 bands that participated in the whole event. Back home, Bedford Town Concert Brass celebrated its 25th anniversary last weekend with a concert at Priory Methodist Church in Newnham Avenue.
A new play tells the story of the building and tragic maiden voyage of the R101 airship 95 years ago. Bedford Drama Company has created Seizing the Skies, being performed from the 14th to the 18th of October, about how the R101 was made at the Royal Airship Works in the nearby village of Cardington. It set off for India on the 4th of October 1930 from Cardington, but crashed in France the next day, killing 48 of the 55 people on board. Richard Moon, actor and co-writer, said he wanted the production to show the reasons behind the airship's creation and honour the bravery of all those involved. Moon, who co-wrote the show with Oscar Aylman, said, "It was really interesting tale to be told, the story of the people behind it, the politician, Lord Thompson, who wanted it built. We show the women who worked in the factory, who made the gas bags and the cover, and it was the women who were left behind to pick up the pieces. We show the bravery of the men who went. They knew there were basic problems, they thought they would be okay, but it wasn't." Moon, also treasurer of the Amateur Society, said it was a story known in the Bedford area, but the company wanted to ensure it was not forgotten. "It's a tremendous story. If you compare it to the Titanic when it crashed, it was a national disaster. But it's more interesting than the Titanic. Titanic was a ship that was going too fast in the wrong area and hit an iceberg. We are showing how it, the R101, was built, why it would work, but it was not just about money. It was loyalty, it was patriotism, and it was politics, and a tragedy to those who died. We take that seriously. We don't want to exploit those people in any way." He hoped other theatre companies would perform the piece, and said it could even be made into a musical to mark the 100th anniversary in 5 years' time. Seizing the Skies runs from the 14th to the 18th of October at the Place Theatre in Bedford.
The founder of the much-loved Puffin Picture Books will be the subject of the latest free exhibition at the Higgins in Bedford, shining a spotlight on one of Bedford's most influential yet often overlooked cultural figures, Noel Carrington. The exhibition, titled Noel Carrington, Nothing Need Be Ugly, opens on Saturday, 15th of November 2025, and will run until the end of June 2026. Noel Carrington, who lived from 1895 to 1989, was a visionary book publisher, best known for brightening up the lives of Britain's wartime children with the colourfully illustrated and much-loved Puffin Picture Books. Launched in 1940, these affordable, brightly coloured picture books were illustrated by artists personally selected by Carrington and aimed initially at evacuee children during World War II. Over time, the range of books expanded to cover nature, sport, hobbies and more, enchanting generations of young readers. Visitors to the exhibition can explore all 120 published titles alongside original artwork and other rarities. The exhibition will be held at the Wixom Tree and Connections Gallery within the Higgins Bedford, Castle Lane, MK40 3XD. Admission is free and it's open to all.
And now it's time for our weekly look at the best of what's on, as featured in the Bedford Clanger. And we begin on Tuesday, the 7th of October at St Paul's Church, St Paul's Square, with their regular lunchtime recital. It starts at 1 p.m. and it features the Sharnbrook Academy violinists. Also on Tuesday, the Bedford Film Society is showing the film called My Favourite Cake. That's at the University of Bedfordshire, Pole Hill Avenue. This Iranian later life love story follows 70-year-old Maheen, who has been solitary until now, who chooses to revive her love life. A chance encounter becomes an unforgettable evening. On Wednesday, there are two shows at two different theatres in the town. At the Quarry Theatre, Is That a Whip in Your Hand? And the show starts at 7:30. While the Place Theatre presents a play called Rent. It's a brand new company, Rehearsal Rooms Theatre, bringing its debut show to the Place. And that starts at 7:30. There are two lectures on Thursday. The first of these is at the Bunyan Meeting Church from 2 to 3 p.m. And it's called More Wallpaper Vicar. Rowena Baton-Dykes's talk will explore the context in which houses were being decorated, with reference to some members of the clergy and their properties in the Bedfordshire area. And at the Quarry Theatre, you can hear the Gilbert Lloyd lecture called 50 Years of Shopkeeping in the Art World. That's at the Quarry Theatre at 7:30. Shopkeeper, publisher and raconteur Mike Goldmark we'll talk about his time running the Goldmark Gallery in Uppingham, which was opened over 50 years ago. On Friday, the 10th of October, comedian Chris Kent is performing his show called Offline at the Quarry Theatre at 7:30. On Friday, Ibibo Sound Machine are performing live at Bedford Esquires at 7:30, and Dave Earle is at the Castle, Newnham Street at 8:30. Also on Friday, you can travel back in time to one of the most iconic eras of music for an exciting night out with 80s music. It's called 80s Live at the Bedford Corn Exchange at 7:30. On Saturday, the 11th of October, there's a Saturday organ recital at St Paul's Church, St Paul's Square at 1 p.m. This week, the organist is Ian Harvey Ashenhurst. Also on Saturday, John Rutter's Magnificat is being performed at St Andrew's Church in Bedford, and tickets for that cost £5. The performance starts at 7:30, and if you want to sing, you can join the choir for £10 by registering in advance. But if the Beatles music is more your thing, then you can hear the Upbeat Beatles at the Quarry Theatre on Saturday at 7:30. Or how about hearing the Bedford Gallery Choir at St Owen's Church, Bromham Park in Bromham, also on Saturday. And that starts at 7:30. Finally, on Sunday, there's a guided walk called The Life and Times of John Bunyan. It starts in the town centre at 11 a.m. at the What's On Hub on Silver Street. And that's the best of What's On this week. Time now for the sports news. And Ealing Trailfinders began another defence of the Champ Rugby title by running in 7 tries to secure a 50-22 victory over Bedford Blues on the opening day of the rugby union season at Goldington Road last Saturday. A late Dean Adamson try earned the Blues a bonus point for 4 tries of their own, but it was the only positive to take from an abject performance against the full-time side of the Trailfinders. Football next, and a Tyrone Marsh penalty and a 99th-minute settler for Junior Gyamfi earned Bedford Town a battling 2-0 victory at Worksop Town on Saturday, their first win in 8 games in all competitions. In the context of the National League North table, an away 3 points are valuable ones for Lee Burcham's side, who rise out of their relegation zone after just their second league victory of the season. There was also a win for Rail Bedford. Goals from Archie Jones, Ben Stevens and the informed Josh Allen helped the Pirates to an FA Trophy third qualifying round victory against Stamford at the Ledger Stadium. Their 3-1 victory takes them through to the first round proper of the FA Trophy, set to take place on the 25th of October. And that's all for this week. The news stories came from Bedford Independent, Bedford Today, the BBC and the Bedford Clanger. And so it's goodbye from William.
Goodbye from Judy.
And from our producer, Steve. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us again next week. Until then, goodbye.